Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Our fight is the fight of faith. That's our fight. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. So our fight is to believe right. That's faith. It's believing right. And so we want to believe in line with God's word. That's believing right. And so fighting the good fight of faith is believing that Jesus fights all our battles for us. That Jesus fights all our battles for us. And in order to fight the good fight of faith, we got to think right. We got to think right. We got to keep our mind on the right thing. There's a wrong way to think, and there's a right way to think. And depending on how you think, that will determine the outcome of your life, the outcome of whatever kind of thing you're going through in life. If you're thinking wrong, then you're going to go wrong. You're going to act wrong. You're going to do the wrong thing, and things will go wrong for you. But if you think right, if you think right, thinking in line with God's word, then things, although they might look like they're going wrong, will turn around. It'll turn around for your good and for God's glory. But it's very important that we keep our minds on the right thing. And thank God we have control over our mind. We don't have to have minds that are out of control any more than we need to have a vehicle, a car that's out of control. You know, you could put that thing on cruise control or what have you and just set it and let it go. But you know, at any time you can grab that wheel and take back control. Isn't that right? And so, you know, sometimes, you know, people do that with their minds. They put their minds on cruise control. They're just kind of cruising along, you know, reading a book, watching something on television. They're just kind of cruising along, but all of a sudden, you see something that's not right. That's not right, and you don't want to think on that. And so what do? Well, you just grab the hold of the wheel again. Pull that thing over. Take control. Don't allow your mind to just keep going in that direction. Grab it, turn the wheel. Because really, the mind is like the steering wheel to your life. And if we're likening it to a ship, you know, the Bible says in the book of James that your tongue is likened to a rudder. So the mind is the helm. That's the steering wheel. And the tongue is the rudder. And what you think on, you're going to start talking. And what you talk, what you think on, what you talk is going to determine the direction you're going to go. And there's a lot of folks just driving themselves into one wreck after the other. I mean, you wonder, where in the world did they get their license? You know, a lot of folks should get a license before they're allowed to think. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, you had to do some tests and things like that before you could just go out there and think. Think on your own. So, but no, praise God. You got to learn as you go. You got to learn as you go. But thank God we got a co-pilot. Now we've got a co-pilot, and it's the Holy Spirit. And he helps us. He helps us if we'll pay attention to him. He'll help us to be able to turn that wheel back where it belongs, get our mind back on the right thing. And a great text for this series on the mind is over here in Colossians chapter 3. We looked at it last time, but anything good is bad. Bears repeating. So let's look here, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Notice that again, verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And that doesn't mean we're not aware of things on the earth. We're not to go through this life oblivious to what's going on around us. We live in a natural world. We need to be aware of natural things. But that's not what our minds are set on. Our minds are set on things above. I think a great illustration of this is Jesus over in John, the 4th chapter. You know, Jesus, the Bible says he was weary from traveling and thirsty. And his disciples had gone away into the city to get some food. And Jesus went over by a well and he sat down. And a woman came to draw water from the well. And he said, "Give me a drink." And the woman, you know, turned to him and said, "You know, who are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For you Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And she started getting off into racial issues. And, you know, Jesus said, "Well, woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who said to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And I just think that is such an awesome response from the Lord. You know, here the Lord, it says he is weary, he's tired, and he's thirsty. So he's aware of his body. He's aware of his physical needs. He recognized, "Man, I'm thirsty," you know. And sometimes it's tough when you're tired, thirsty, maybe even hungry. He probably was that too because the disciples had gone to get some food. And, you know, that wasn't an easy thing back in those days. So, you know, I mean, his body is in an uncomfortable state at that point. People can relate to that. Yeah. And so, but usually at that point, that's when usually people feel irritable. Huh? That's when people, many times, the worst comes out of them. Right? They're just easily pushed over the edge. They're weary, they're tired, and then it turns to I'm frustrated and I haven't eaten anything. And usually then things begin to come out of their mouth and they begin to do things that are very unspiritual. But notice here with Jesus, even though he was thirsty, probably hungry, and he was weary, tired, that's just tired, he was weary from his journey. Here, this woman gives him a hard time about giving him a drink of water. And instead of him responding in the flesh, he says, "Woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And of course, this intrigued the woman and she said, "Well, you don't have anything to draw with. Where do you get this living water?" And Jesus continued to minister out of his spirit to this woman. To the point where, next thing you know, we see he starts operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he gets a word, what's called a word of knowledge concerning this woman and how she's had several husbands and the one she's living with right now is not her husband. And he begins to talk to her about these things and she recognizes, "You must be a prophet." Because he's getting things supernaturally about her life. And she ends up running off, telling all the men in the city about Jesus, and they all come out to him, and he has this big meeting where he ministers to all these Samaritan people. But notice Jesus, how he was so focused on spiritual things. Even though aware of his physical needs, he didn't let that dominate him. He didn't let that dominate him. That wasn't what he was seeking. He came asking for a drink, but that wasn't his focus. When he saw the woman, he esteemed the woman, her life, above the drink of water. And usually what happens when people really feel like they need something and they really want something, many times they don't see the people that are around them. They just want to get that need met. Because they get so focused on that earthly thing, they lose sight of what is eternal, what is heavenly, that heavenly thing, like humanity, like the people around us. It's easy to do that driving in your car. You just see a car in front of you. But we don't see the human being that's driving the car. We need to see the human being driving the car. People just can't become obstacles to us. So that it's just get out of my way, as though where you have to go is more important than that human being that is in your way. Now, I understand, you know, people that are driving slow and getting in your way, you'd like them to move out of the way. And I understand that. But we have to also understand that their life is more important than you getting to where you want to go. We got to understand what is greater. What is greater in everything that we do, everything we want in life? We don't want to value earthly things, things that are temporary, above spiritual things. A lot of people ruin their relationships with people because they get so focused on what they need or what they want that they start mistreating the people around them in order to get what they want. And we have to realize, no, what we really want is to be a blessing to people and to care about people and to help people and have these great relationships with people. Not just focus in on getting supper made or getting this thing or getting that thing, selling this product or whatever it might be. We love people. We care about people and we're aware of God in us, and we're more conscious of the spiritual needs that we have and the spiritual needs that people have. I remember when we first started the church, we were in the Blairwood Country Club in a little conference room. And we would walk in there, and a lot of times the place was not set up the way it was supposed to be for us. You know, we were going to be in there Sunday morning and have a church service in the conference room, and they were supposed to pull the walls out for us and set the chairs up for us. Many times it wasn't that way. It was, you know, we'd be there Sunday morning, and usually Saturday night, the night before, they would have had some kind of event in there, and there were alcohol bottles all over the place, and the place is usually a mess, and the movable walls weren't where they were supposed to be, and we'd walk in. You know, I just want to walk in and have church. I don't want to have to start cleaning up and putting this room together, you know. But that happened many, many times. And I remember one time we came walking in, and the guy that was overseeing it, that worked there, he was just frustrated, probably dealing with a lot of conviction because we were there, you know. And he got real frustrated, and he just started mouthing off to me about something. And I just stopped and looked at him, and I said, "Hey, man, are you having a bad day? What's going on? What's going on in your life?" And I legitimately cared about his life and wanted to be a help to him somehow, even though I wanted to get the place cleaned up. We got a church service. We got to get moving. We need to be able to know how to stop and value the human beings that are right there in front of us. Right? Because isn't that why we're there? I mean, that's why we're there. That's why we're doing this church thing anyway. Sure, he wasn't a part of, you know, the ones that were going to be in attendance at the service, but we're there for humans. We're there to help humanity, to give spiritual help to people. And here was a guy that definitely needed spiritual help. So instead of reacting from the flesh, like, "Hey, dude, we need the room set up." Instead of reacting that way, we recognized his need. What can we do to help him? So that's being heavenly mind. That's setting your mind on things above. It's not going through life oblivious of earthly things. You're just oblivious to earthly things. You don't care about eating. You never care about drinking. This is spiritual. When you get to the place, you don't have to eat anymore. You don't have to drink anymore. Nothing matters anymore. And you're just living in a monastery. Your home has become a monastery. And you're up on top of a mountain with a shaved head and a cloak humming. Now that would look spiritual, wouldn't it? But that's not being spiritual. Being spiritual is being able to interact with people and be more mindful of spiritual needs and the presence of God, conscious of Him, conscious of your purpose. Why are you here? That's what ultimately led to me being saved. I became aware that I was here. And so I asked the question, why am I here? Why am I here? Is it just to go to work and 9 to 5 and then, you know, do things on the weekend with my friends and then go back to work and make money and then do things on the weekend and just go through these motions of just living? I became conscious that, wait, why am I here? There's got to be more of a reason for my being here. Who made me? Why am I here? And that caused me to begin to think out beyond the earth into heaven. And that led to me making contact with the King of heaven, the Lord Jesus, and getting born again, getting my life changed. Praise God. And now that my life's changed, I want to keep myself mindful of spiritual things. Why are we here today? Not just why are we here in the world, but why are we here in this building? Why do we get up in the morning? What is the purpose? To go make money? No. To survive? No. See, that's being earthly minded. We don't want to be earthlocked, landlocked. We want to think out beyond the earth. Recognize, I have a purpose. There's a purpose for this day. God wants to order my steps today. There's people that I'm to connect with today. There's things I'm to accomplish today of eternal significance. We don't want to just think earth, 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 my needs, my needs, my needs. That's not where our minds need to be. If that's where our minds are, then that's all. Then it's going to limit us. It's going to keep us trapped in the flesh. But you and I have been created to live out of our spirits. And when we set our mind on spiritual things, it releases the spirit. It allows our spirit to be able to connect, communicate with God. For God to be able to flow through our lives. But again, if we allow our minds to just stay on the earth, it's not a good place to be. Notice over here in Romans, the 8th chapter. In verse 5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, we just read over in Colossians that we're to set our mind on things above. Here he says, those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. A lot of folks aren't thinking beyond their flesh. They're not thinking beyond their physical needs. And the physical world around them, how things look and how things feel. They're not thinking beyond that. Why? Because that's what they're living for. They're living for the flesh. So those who live according to the flesh, they do something with their minds. They set it on the flesh. They set it on earthly things. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. How about living for the Spirit? Living for the Spirit. That's how we're supposed to be living. Living for the Spirit. And again, living for the Spirit, another way of saying it is living by faith. Living by faith. How many people know the Spirit is unseen? Right? We're to walk by faith and not by what is seen. We're supposed to live according to the unseen. We live according to the Spirit as a result that we set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Notice that. To be carnally minded is not a good thing. What is it? Death. It's death. I don't want to die, do you? No. I don't want to experience death in my life. But he says to be carnally minded. So look how powerful the mind is. If you put your mind on carnal things, earthly things, fleshly things, that's what it's talking about there, you're going to what? You're going to experience, ultimately, death. Why? Because everything in the earth is dying. Everything according to the flesh is dying. Now, the Spirit that was within us is eternal. Right? People aren't dying. Only their flesh is dying. I said people aren't dying. Only their flesh is dying. The spirits live forever. And there are spirits living inside these dying bodies, in these temporary bodies. There's a spirit in there. That's the real you. Praise God, someday you're going to get to see yourself. Won't that be exciting? Hallelujah. Get to look and see yourself. Step out of your body, look in a mirror, and go, wow. And you're just light, you know. Just light coming out of you. Just perfection. No corruption, no aging, no wrinkles. Glory to God. So we can't see that. We can't see that right now. Right now, we just see one another's bodies. That's what we see with our physical eyes. But with the eyes of faith, with the eyes of faith, we see the human being, the spirit being that's inside that body. It's by faith. By faith, that's what you see. That's living according to the Spirit, setting your mind on the Spirit. It's living by faith in what you do not see. I see spirit beings in this room. Hallelujah. I'm not talking to your flesh. If I was talking to your flesh, I'd already be discouraged this morning. Why? Well, you got flesh doing this. You got some flesh doing this. You got all kinds of flesh things going on. A lot of folks' flesh is heavy this morning. Praise the Lord. Turn up the air conditioner. That's your flesh. That's your flesh. Talking to a guy yesterday, and he was talking about when he was 18 years old. He was in a church, and I believe it was an altar call they were having, and calling people that wanted to make Jesus the Lord of their life. And he said his hand went up, and he looked over like, "What are you doing?" His hand just went up, and, you know, his mind's going, "What in the world's going on?" See, that was his spirit. His spirit just rose up within him, right? And he just lifted that hand up. See, that was the same thing with Gene's grandmother. We were having a service, and I really felt led to have an altar call at the end of this service. And so we had an altar call, and she stepped out, the grandma stepped out, came down to the front, and she answered that altar call to make Jesus the Lord of her life. And she described it later on, and any time we brought it up, she would say that, yeah, she was just sitting there in the seat, and she said, next thing you know, her legs started moving. And she was thinking, where are you going? Her spirit rose up. Thank God. Her spirit rose up and caused her to move forward. Your spirit brought you here this morning. Don't turn it into a flesh thing. Because that's what'll happen. See, then your mind will go, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. And then you look at all the earthly things. Look at my earth suit. And you look at I don't know. And now you start judging things according to the flesh. That's not what brought you here. Your flesh didn't bring you here. You started out in the Spirit. Let's finish this thing in the Spirit. Your spirit got you here, being led by the Spirit of God. And God, who is spirit, has something spiritual that he wants to speak into your spirit today. He wants to feed your spirit with today. He wants to strengthen your spirit with today. Come on. God's working in this place. We're spirit beings. Our spirit's got us here. If we listened to our flesh, we never would have got out of bed. We would be somewhere else. Getting some pancakes or something. But your spirit, you are spiritually minded enough that you made the decision to esteem being here this morning above the pancakes, above staying in bed. Huh? Now let's get over it. Don't turn it into a flesh thing. Don't turn it into a flesh and start judging everything according to the flesh. And then we end up missing the whole thing. Why? Because our noodle, our mind, disconnect and starts taking control. starts taking control. Our spirits were in control enough to get us here, and then our minds start taking control, and then we miss what God has for us. Now, that's not just for church. That's just a lesson in life right there. Why are you getting up in the morning? God led me into this. Well, then bless God. Keep your mind on God all the way through the thing. But a lot of times, whether it's a job or a relationship or whatever it might be in life, next thing you know, we get in the thing, and now we're focusing on the flesh. The flesh, as though this is just a earthly thing. It's not. It's not. It's a spiritual thing. Let's get what God has for us. Let's get out of it or bring into it what we are supposed to bring into it or get out of it spiritually. Right? There's things to bring to the table, praise God, and impart into people's lives spiritually. So we're aware of this. We're conscious of this. We're training ourselves to stay this way, to live this way, to live by faith. Faith isn't just something you're supposed to pull out in a time of trouble to try to get yourself out of a jam. Faith isn't a spare tire that we just pop out and use for a little while until we can begin to run on our own again. No. We live by faith. We live according to the Spirit. We set our mind on the Spirit, on spiritual things. We are aware not only of human spirits and that we're a human spirit, but we are aware of the Holy Spirit. We're aware of angelic spirits. We're aware of angels. We're aware of demon spirits. And we understand that there is a real devil and that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against these evil spirits that are running loose throughout this world today. Bible says the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There's a demon. And he wants to distract us from our purpose. He wants to keep us carnally minded, earthly minded. We see that with Jesus, right? How did he tempt Jesus? When he came to Jesus, the devil just kept pointing Jesus to earthly things, to food, right? To the earth, how things looked and what he can rule over and all these kind of things. The devil is a carnal devil, and he wants you to be carnal. He wants to keep you on his territory, in the carnal realm, in the earthly realm. He wants you to be fleshy. So we have to be aware of that a lot of stuff that's going on in life, it's not flesh and blood, it's demons. And we gotta learn to be quicker, you know? I mean, something starts going wrong, we're like, that isn't right. That isn't right. And a lot of times we just think, well, it's just a natural thing. It's a personality thing. It's just a fleshy thing. And no. This is an evil spirit trying to harass that person or be harassing through that person. That person's harassed by a devil and being a harassment to others because of the devil. It's an amazing thing. Thank God we got authority in the name of Jesus. Now, a lot of Christians know that, but they don't use it half as much as they should. They don't use it half as much as they should. They'll bicker and they'll argue and they'll fuss and they'll fight and they'll struggle and they'll call me and say, Pastor, the struggles are just going on, and we'll talk about the struggles and everything. One of the first questions I've said, now, did you take authority over the devil? Huh? No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Well, doesn't the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood? That the battle is in the spirit realm first and foremost? It's in the spirit realm. It's not in the flesh realm. It's not about trying to convince people to think right. It's about first taking authority over the devil who's blinding their minds from being able to think right. That's what he does. He works in the realm of the mind. The devil does. And the more we're conscious of these things, the quicker we'll be to deal with it. There was a woman that was just really being a distraction to people. Not in a church service, somewhere else. And if she got in your presence, she wouldn't take a breath. She'd just keep talking. You're like, And, you know, being the polite people you are, you just stand there, you know. And she's just sucking the life out of you. Just wear you to a frazzle. You find you push away and try to walk away, and she's following around, following you. I mean, she won't let you go. Well, I broke away from it a couple times, and then, you know, she was doing it to other people. And they were just trapped. I mean, it was like you were in a trap. And finally, someone else came up to me and said, you know, this is what's going on over here. And I was like, well, that's the devil. That's the devil. And even though they were even saying spiritual things and praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, it was a devil. So I took authority of it. I said, you foul spirit operating in that woman to harass people and oppress people and distract people, I command you to shut up and cease and desist in your maneuvers right now in Jesus' name. And you know, she never bothered anybody after that. She just walked around. She just got and did her thing. Da, 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 next thing you know, she was gone. See, because it was a spirit. It was a spirit. It wasn't just flesh and blood harassing people. We have to be aware of these things. Realize there's a lot more going on around us than just what we can see in the flesh. The world is all carnally minded, earthly minded. So if you turn on the news or whatever and you're watching this and watching that, don't get sucked into their way of thinking. We understand where the problem is. We understand where the battle is. The battle is not in the flesh. It is in the realm of the spirit. It is with demons. Come on. The faster we get a hold of that, the faster we can walk in victory over these demons. Keep them in their place. You're not going to come in my house and stir up trouble, you troubling spirit. You're not going to come in here and oppress me. If you start feeling like your mind isn't thinking right, it's that devil. Take authority over it. Don't just sit there and take an aspirin. People just run to their Tylenol and run to their all these little things to try to help themselves. But let's run first and foremost to our authority in the name of Jesus. And take authority over the devil. That's what Jesus commanded us to do. That's what he gave us when he gave us his name. Isn't that right? That's what he gave us. Notice, hold your place there and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says in verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Notice that. He's saying the gospel has a veil over it so that there's people, they can't understand it. They don't get it. They don't understand it correctly. There's a lot of folks that have tried to interpret the Bible. They've tried to figure out the Bible. And they've made many messes by making many religious doctrines. They don't understand the truth. The truth sets you free. It doesn't just give you religion. Right? Sets you free. The truth does. But notice it says that there's a veil over it in the lives of those who are perishing. There's people that are perishing, they're dying, they can't see the truth. Why can't they see the truth? It's an amazing thing that after you give your life to the Lord, your eyes become open. And you start seeing things that you never saw before. You're just like, wow. You know, I mean, you were living in the system. You were just doing things a certain way. And you just didn't see it. You just didn't see how ridiculous it was. How self-destructive it was. You just didn't see it because everybody was doing it. You're in this place where you were blinded. You couldn't see. You couldn't see the way life was really supposed to be. But man, the veil came off. Hallelujah. And we look in the Word and we start understanding the Bible now. Hallelujah. Now, of course, we go from faith to faith, glory to glory. And I remember my mom, when she was newly saved, I had the privilege of leading her and my dad to the Lord. And they were newly saved. They had been Catholics all their life. And my mom had a statue of the Blessed Mother on her, You know, I'd been there all growing up. There was that statue of the Blessed. It was her mother's. It was passed on to her. So she always had that on her bureau there in her bedroom. Now she's given her life to the Lord, you know, and I'm teaching them the things of God. And we're just moving along. One day I started sharing something. We were sitting in the car waiting for my dad. He was doing some work, and we were waiting out in the car talking together. I took advantage of the opportunity to share, try to teach her some things from the Word. And we were talking about the parable of the soils, you know, and talking about the seed that was sown and things. And I'm talking to her about these things from the Bible. And I said, "Now, do you understand that?" She said, "No, say that again." I said, "All right." So I went through it, made it just as clear and as simple as could be, you know. And she's looking, and she says, I don't understand. Say that again. She couldn't understand what I was saying. And she knew it was simple, but yet she couldn't get it. Now, she's already, you know, she's newly saved. So we went through it again. I took it really slow. I said, "Well, now, see, this is what he's saying, and this is what happened. And we're just walking through this thing." And you could see, she's like, "This is terrible. I don't know why I can't understand that." How many of you know what that is? Huh? My mom's not a dumb woman. She's an intelligent woman. This was very simple. Very simple. Very simple little basic Bible truths I was sharing with her. She couldn't get it. And anyway, I should have just taken authority over the devil. But what ended up happening was, I went in her room one morning and I saw that statue of the Blessed Mother. And I realized the Blessed Mother's got to go. It's time for her to go. Because we don't worship the Blessed Mother. We worship Jesus. Right? So we don't pray to the Blessed Mother. We pray to Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible teaches. That isn't just something, you know, we made up. I mean, you got to do it the Bible way if you want Bible results. If you're praying to something else other than Jesus, or praying to God in Jesus' name, then you're praying to an idol. That's just reality. So I realized that thing's an idol and that thing needs to go. So I shared that with them, you know. And I won't get into the whole story. It was kind of comical. But anyway, she ended up removing that. And you know what? When she did that, a veil came off. A veil came off, and she was able to see. And she never had a problem after that understanding things. See, a lot of times we allow things to stay in our life that we're not willing to let go of. That is really anti-God. It's anti-Bible. And we hang on to those things, and we don't want to let go of those things. And what we're actually hanging on to is a spiritual veil, because by hanging on to that idol, we are allowing the devil, who's behind those things, place in our life. We're allowing him place in our life to blind us. Blind us to what God has for us. That's why when it comes to light about something not being right, be quick to let it go. Be quick to turn it loose. Don't hang on to it. Say, "I've always had this." Well, it's time to move on to some new things. All right? Move on to some new things. Be willing to clear out the closet. Be willing to clear out the basement. Be willing to clear out the back seat of your car. Be willing to clear things out. My wife is fantastic at that. She doesn't let anything stay very long. She's either giving it away or throwing it out. But nothing stays around very long in our house. Except me. Thank you. That's huge. That's huge. For her, that's huge. I remember when we were in an apartment, and I had this palm tree. I used to love palm trees, you know. I had this really nice palm tree. And it was half brown, but most of it was green. And I would cut the brown leaves off, you know, and prune it here and there. But I like she would come to me and said, "You know, this palm tree is, you know, this is just, can we throw this out?" I said, "No, it's my palm tree. I like the palm tree." Every once in a while she'd say, I want to throw the palm tree." I said, "No, just leave the palm tree alone. I like the palm tree." So one day I was upstairs and I looked out my window and I see her running to the dumpster. And I said, no, no, no. It needed to go. But you see, I was a little slow at letting things go, you know. But she's quick at that. That's a very good thing.
True story.
It's just, it's pretty funny. We got to be able to clear it out. You know what I'm talking about? Clearing out the clutter. Clearing stuff out of our life. Clearing stuff out that it's got no business being in our life anymore. It's the old life. It's the old life. I was just sharing it with somebody the other day. You know, I remember when I was newly saved, went out to Bible school, and I brought a lot of stuff with me. I had a photo album of, you know, my old life before I knew the Lord. You know, high school days and the prom and all these things. And I'm looking. One day I was there, and I was looking at these pictures, and I said, I hate this guy. And it was me, you know. It's like, I don't like that guy. That's the old man. I'm not like him anymore. I don't live like him anymore. I don't think like him anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the more I looked at the pages, I despised him. Something in the flesh said, that's your photo album. That's your memories. You can't just throw it out. But I threw it all out. Just threw it all out. Said, that ain't me anymore. No sense in looking at that. Praise God, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Time to create some new memories. Holy Spirit made memories, not the flesh, not the flesh. So you got to let things go. But a lot of times it's in hanging on to these things that we're really hanging on to a part of a life that isn't us anymore, and thus inviting those spirits into our life. I wasn't planning on going this way this morning, but we're hanging on to those spirits, and those spirits, what are they going to do? They're going to come at your mind. That's the first place they're going to go, and they're going to seek to blind your mind to this word right here. You'll be sitting there right in service. Can't see it. Can't see it. Can't hear it. Can't understand it. And it's right there in front of you. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you want that veil to be taken away, the Bible says, turn. Turn to the Lord. What does that mean? Repent. Turn to him. Turn from that old stuff. Turn to him and make a fresh commitment to him that I'm going your way, Jesus. I'm going to live according to the Spirit. I'm going to live by faith. I'm not going to live the way I used to live. I'm going to move on with you. And as you do, what's going to happen? Veils are going to come off. Veils are going to be taken away. And suddenly, oh yeah, you're going to see things. You're going to see things, praise God, that you want to see. Great and wonderful things God has for you. Just waiting for you to see it. Hallelujah. I mean, there's provision around us. We just need to see it. There's things that God's got ready for us. It's all around us. We can't see it until we make that commitment to him and turn to him. Turn to him, because turning to him is turning away from those demonic influences, those evil spirits that have blinded our minds for so long, for so much of our life. Somebody say, no more. No more. But notice again, 2 Corinthians 4:4, he says, whose minds, the God of this age or the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe. Lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That's where the devil works. He works in people's minds. And if he can keep our mind on earthly things, what can he bring to pass in our life? The Bible says those who set their minds on earthly things, the carnal mind, he said, is death. It'll bring forth death. But if we get our mind on spiritual things, we're aware of the spirits, the evil spirits, we're aware of angelic spirits, we're aware of the Spirit of God, we're aware that we're spirits, we're aware of the human spirits around us, and we're living by faith, living according to the Spirit. Whoo, hallelujah. What are we going to have? We're going to have life and peace. Doesn't that sound good? How many want some more life and peace? Yes, that's what God's got for us. A life full of life and peace. Praise God. That's where it is. It's in setting our mind on heavenly things, on the things pertaining to the Spirit, and living by faith. Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.